was excited.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
you don't want to sit next to Adriana.
I do, kind of, but I just feel like I should be right there.
Are you?
Okay, at this time, I'd like to call to convene the meeting of the Carson City Audit Committee. Can we take roll?
Chairperson Bertrand?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Krause, Member Bagwell?
Here.
Member Leonard?
Here.
Member Byrne?
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. Okay, the public is invited at this time to comment on and discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the Carson City Audit Committee. In order for members of the public to participate in the committee's consideration for an agenda item, the committee strongly encourages members of the public to comment on an agenda item during the item itself. No action may be taken on a matter raised under public comment unless the item has been specifically included on the agenda and as an item upon which action may be taken. Is there anybody who would like to make any comments to the public at this time? Okay. At this time, I'd like to have a motion for approval of the minutes for November
17, 2015. I move we approve the minutes of the prior meeting.
November 17th?
Yes.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Minutes are approved. I'd like to, at this time, adopt the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
I move to adopt the agenda.
As presented.
I second it.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, agenda is approved. Okay. Boy, it's been a long time since we've been here. Hi, Mark. Almost forgot what you look like.
You missed me, didn't you?
Actually, kind of going over some of the things we're going to go over today. I know as much as possible, we like to get together every 2 to 3 months, but hopefully this is going to be profitable. We'll get a lot of things taken care of and not be here too late. At this time, I'd like to, for possible discussion or possible action and discussion, have Moss Adams, Mark Serenka of Moss Adams, discuss with us the audit work program update.
Certainly. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and other members of the Audit Committee. Mark Serenka from Moss Adams. First, do we have a new Audit Committee member or guest here that we want to introduce?
Yes. Thank you, Mark.
I see a face I don't recognize.
Actually, we have a new audit committee member. Thank you. And could you just introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Catherine Byrne, and I've been appointed for a 2-year term. And I'm currently residing in Carson City. I currently work with the Nevada State Controller's Accountant. I'm a CAFR accountant. Anything else?
Thank you.
That's it. Awesome. Welcome. Thank you. Okay, so status report. So you should have a 2-page status report. I'll be relatively brief here, and this is just to give you, we're going to address a number of these items in other items on the agenda. I'll start with schedule status, a few comments. So we'll be presenting the product of our policy and procedure update, which is the second bullet item under schedule status. We are nearing completion of the cash and revenue collection improvement project, and I suspect we'll be presenting that at our next meeting. The P-card and payroll testing we actually have a kickoff meeting scheduled. I think it's March 31st to get those going. Those are two relatively small projects. They will all of this work and those included certainly will be completed before the end of the fiscal year. And then I'll just a little bit later here in the status schedule, I'll give you a little update on the fraud, waste, and abuse program, which is really just the activity we've had from the hotline calls or reports, I should say. Excuse me. Budget status, you can see everything is under budget. There isn't going to be anything here, nor has there been in the past anything that's going to be over budget, so no concerns there. Under activities for this reporting period, a couple things to point out here. So the after our November meeting, we prepared the completed findings that the audit committee approved that went to the board, and actually this is a question, I believe those went on March 17th, which would have been last week, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Perfect. They were approved by the board.
Great. So that's the first set of findings. Round of applause. Yeah, that actually are officially out of the audit committee and approved by the board, so that's great. I mentioned the policies and procedures. I'll cover that in the agenda item that's dedicated to that topic. The cash and revenue collection, that's gone really well. We're going to have a lot of good information to provide back to the city relative to strengthening citywide policies and procedures. Under the cash and revenue collection, citywide policies and procedures for cash and revenue collection. Again, that should come back to this committee in our next meeting. I mentioned the P-card and payroll testing. Once we kick that off, we'll be on site doing testing, so that should be happening in April. And then on the fraud, waste, and abuse program, so we've had 4 calls since our last meeting. I think there were 2 in February, maybe 1 in December, 1 in March, something like that. As is typical, some of them had nothing to do with the city. You know, one was, I think, you know, a DirecTV salesperson, and they weren't quite happy with how they were treated. And the other was actually, in a way, more relevant, but it had to do with the state Department of Employment. And then there were two that were, you know, actually more relevant and certainly relevant to the city, more legitimate. And I'll just sort of characterize them generally. They were both related to separate, what I would call small works, construction projects. And I think that they're both going to result in no fraud, waste, or abuse, but by going through the process in both cases of receiving a, you know, an anonymous report, sharing some of the information with city management, asking them to look into the situation, which they in both cases did very promptly, provided information back enough for us to be able to sort of assess the situation. And I think in each case, I know in one case already, the city's made some adjustments in how they process certain things, make decisions, track information, which is great. I think the and in the second case, I think there'll be some similar opportunities. I think in the sort of the bigger picture in terms of those two particular reports, them both being sort of small capital project or small works project related, a little bit of a common theme from our risk assessment at the very sort of initiation of our contract is that would be, as it is in some other cities, a place to look maybe in the next audit program to look at a couple of small works projects. They could be large or small, and just look at how the projects are sort of the intake, the management of them, how decisions are made, how information is tracked and reported. That was, even though that's what the complaints were about, those were things that were identified in management taking a look into it, us asking questions about it, where there were some opportunities just for improving policy, procedure, process, better information to be able to demonstrate a case for something should someone ask, you know, that type of thing. And so I think those, in essence, were both fruitful and productive in that way. Okay, I'm going to keep moving. On the second page, activities for the next reporting period, really we'll be finishing up the cash and revenue collection. We'll be work in the midst of the peak card and payroll testing. And so as we look forward, we're in March now. If we meet in April or probably more likely May, things to be thinking about is us bringing back the results of those two projects and then starting to bring back ideas and having discussion with the audit committee about what should be components of next year's audit program, and that, as it has in the past, will bring ideas, you know, quote unquote, to the table. We'll also ask the city manager's office and the finance director for ideas, and I think the audit committee certainly also, which is why I kind of mentioned a little bit about the two capital works projects. Is that doesn't have to be an area of focus, but that's an example of one conduit to have how we gather information in terms of things to think about for the future to focus on. Anyway, that's actually not that brief of a status report now. any questions?
So Mark, just in general, from the fraud, waste, and abuse program, so what I'm gathering is that might be an opportunity or an area that we can address, again, better procedures. So does it hook into your procedure reviews that would actually maybe fit those two together?
Yes. I shouldn't say yeah. That's the slang, right? Bad. My mom would be disappointed. Our focus has been more at the policy level in terms of the work that we've been doing. But yes, absolutely, it should fold back in. And even if you reflect back to when we initially opened the hotline, our very first report, I shouldn't even bring it back up, but, you know, it was something relative to a board of supervisor activity. And that resulted in a clarification of a procedure or development of a procedure, which was a good thing. I mean, that's how we identify gaps, right, when things come up. And so, you know, in this case, I know for the first instance that the Public Works Department has already started this new process of tracking certain information, and it was relative to making sure that the right GL accounts were getting charged for. There's initial charge when work is done, and then things get reconciled when you're completed. And some of them were and some of them weren't. Not the end of the world, and it certainly wasn't fraud, waste, or abuse, but just by that coming up, right, it was just process. And so they've developed a very simple tool, a spreadsheet, to help make sure that that happens in the future. That's great.
Great, thanks.
Yep.
Are there any other questions or comments? Okay, well, thank you, Mark, for that report. I'd like to now move on to the next item on the agenda. And this is a review of the audit findings and tracking report. Mark, could you kind of give us an update on that?
Yes, I would be happy to. And apologize, I don't know if yours printed out okay. I know Michael's didn't. I know mine did. So I apologize if yours did not. But you should have, I think, I don't know, about 15 pages in total, something like that. Some of them aren't numbered. Apologies for that also. But you have a cover page that's a summary of the projects. And I'm going to walk us through this first, and it's going to be a little bit confusing, so bear with me because we have things in different stages, which that should be the case. But, you know, we're always kind of charting new territory on this. So anyway. So the first item, community facility cost recovery study, and the fourth item, and in the future we'll number these to make it easier, the employee efficiency study, I'll mention those two together. So those were the two that you forwarded 13 completed findings in the case of community facilities and 24 in the case of employee efficiency study to the Board of Supervisors who approved them on March 17th. So in those case, in each of those, so respectively, you have two remaining findings for the community facility cost recovery study and three for the employee efficiency study. And if you turn to pages 2 and 3 of this, you'll see the two remaining findings for community facilities and then the three remaining findings for the employee efficiency. So the ones that have been completed and approved are now in an archive tab in the same master spreadsheet entitled, you know, archive community facilities. And that's what we'll keep doing. So we always have a record of what's left and open, which will be the two and the three respectively open findings, and what's been completed, which has been archived. The next, the items 2 and 3, the two fleet studies, the fleet management efficiency study and fleet utilization study, in each of those cases, all of the findings have been reported as completed by management, approved by the audit committee back in November, and actually had been previously approved by the Board of Supervisors because Public Works and Fleet had presented those to the board, obviously previously. And so so the sequence is kind of reversed, but that's okay. And so those, all of those findings are, again, archived. We can have a discussion once I finish going through here whether you want, for example, the fleet management and the fleet utilization studies to remain as line items on the summary report, or if those go off like we did with the golf study. So that one went off because that was deemed completed. The fifth item, internal controls review. So that one correction there, that should be 17 completed findings, not 7. And you'll see in the pages that follow the first two pages, you'll see several pages that are entitled internal controls review. And, excuse me, the ones that have been completed have a yes, a Y in the finding corrected column. They're, if you had a color copy, they'd be highlighted in yellow, those rules, but they're hopefully slightly grayed. And so there are 17 of those that have been reported as completed by management. And so all of the findings are in currently in the report, both completed and open, because the audit committee hasn't taken action to move any of those forward yet. In fact, those haven't necessarily been reviewed with the audit committee yet. And then the last two entries, the fiscal year 2014 CAFR and 2015 CAFR, in both cases, five findings, in both cases already presented and approved by the board. I kept them on here so that the audit committee would have the opportunity to make sure that they've seen them and can take action on them if you so choose, since they've already been approved by the board. And those findings also you'll see appear in the last few pages of this report, entitled respectively the 2014 and 2015 CAFRs. I know it's a mouthful, but.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like just a couple comments. So it looks like, and I know we got some policies and procedures of how we're going to resolve and move these things off the list. It looks like today then the last two items, the 2014-2015 CAFR, we could probably put that to a vote and accept it and move it off the listing, especially since the Board of Supervisors have already looked at it. The other two that I'm wanting to look at is, I guess, it's items number two and three. It's the fleet study and the utilization study. And on that, I know that's been out there, and I remember some of the conversations and that occurred at that time. And I'm wondering how everything was resolved. I know we sent things back to them to get back to us, and I'm thinking that probably what we need to add to our procedures is there should be a step of validation, so that when we send these when somebody is working on these comments, that you go back and you somehow validate, go back and make sure the comments were implemented satisfactorily, and if not, you can report to us if it was or wasn't, before we then move something off the list. So I think that maybe my recommendation, and we'll probably talk about that more when we get to that agenda item, but put on there a step of validation, so that when we're getting ready to either go to the Board of Supervisors with it and archive it, we have a sense from you that, you know, what your recommendation is, and if we have, we then have an opportunity to ask any questions or see if there needs to be some additional work done. Any comments, since we're on, does anybody else have any comments on that? Is that, sounds like a good, okay. I don't know, do we need to make a motion for something like that to add that to the poll? I guess we don't really need to. We can just do that in the, yeah.
I think I would wait till we.
Wait till that, yeah. And I guess we'll have to really adopt the entire thing. Okay, well, that's, were there any other comments on the activity report from anyone?
Oh, I know the other thing that Mr. Chair, you might want to mention is just in terms of, for example, the internal controls review, taking those for consideration when it's more complete.
Yeah. So one of the things that we'd probably like to do is, well, on all these items before, I mean, there's cases where we have so many of the findings have been completed, some of them haven't, probably add that to the procedures that we're going to wait until the entire thing is done before we go to the board with it, rather than go to the board every time there's one or two items that are completed. Just wait till the entire thing is taken care of and just to report to them what the results were.
Or it may just be the majority, because you may have, for example,
yeah.
Often you have findings that will be related to a city that's going to put in a new ERP system, and you know that that's 2 or 3 years out, and so those are just going to be hanging there for a while, and so you could take the rest to the board and instead of, you know, waiting for that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we'll do it on in a case like that, we might have some items that are part of a general project, and we'll just split that up into a separate line item that more specifically identifies that particular task. So, but as a whole, generally, I'm thinking we don't want to go to the board every time there's an item completed or so forth, but we look at each of these as projects, and if one project really lends itself to being split between two or three different categories, maybe we should just do that. Also, too, there's I think there's some other activities too that we're working on that are not reported on here. I guess the internal control testing, I guess that's something that we should probably have listed.
Well, that will come. So when once we complete that work, that will get added, yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So on this item, should we not, though, be closing the 2014 and 15 CAFR? On this item, we should be taking a motion to close those items and clear them.
And the other question was maybe just re-asked. So what would be your preference, for example, as related to those in the fleet, the two fleet studies, would you prefer those come off of this summary report or stay on as a record or reminder?
Well, I think the process we're talking about is they stay on until each of these items has been, you've had a chance to go back and validate that those procedures have been implemented satisfactorily. So I think until you've had an opportunity to go back and take a look at that and report back to us and we have an opportunity to ask you questions, I think we would want to keep that on.
If I can comment, though, the Board of Supervisors has already closed those audits. So I like your thought process for the future, that before it goes to the Board of Supervisors for recommendation of closure, the internal auditor will have validated that indeed the procedure should close. But I don't recommend that we leave anything on here that's already been entirely through the process. So I really recommend we close fleet management, fleet utilization, 2014 CAFR and 2015 CAFR. And then when we work on the next section of the procedures, we put the extra validation step in, just as a thought for us to consider.
I concur with that. I think exactly what we should do, and I didn't realize that was closed up. I just know that there was a lot of questions in my mind that I didn't hear about or didn't necessarily get resolved, and that's why I would have liked that. So in the future, yes, let's go ahead and have that process where things are being looked at, and we have a chance to comment on that before it goes to the board.
That sounds good. Okay, so then just for clarity, so the next time we meet, this summary report would only have three items on it: the community facility cost recovery, because it has two remaining findings, the employee efficiency study, because it has three remaining findings, and the internal controls review. Sound good?
Yeah, okay. I agree with that.
Thank you.
All right, so if there are no other questions or comments, I do have another question too. I know we've been working on performance measures for a while, and that is an item, and I believe the city is working with that, and I'm kind of thinking it would probably be good to have that on a report so that we keep that in front of us and keep abreast of what's happening, what's developing there. Is that something that you can do in the future?
Sure, yeah. I mean, we can I'm trying to remember, because we've moved it to the archive, of course we still have it, if we had a finding and completed recommendation. I don't think any of the open employee efficiency study findings relative to performance measures, but for example, if there was one in the employee efficiency, we could bring that one back, or we could just add an item for performance measures. But obviously that's going to be a question for an update from management, city management.
Right, so if we keep it on our list, it would just bring it to our attention. And my understanding is the city is working on it right now. Staff's working on that. So then if this is on the next report, then before our next meeting, it'll alert us to ask about that. It'll alert you to follow up on that and see how staff is doing so that we can have a report on how that's progressing.
One question here. I don't know whether it's appropriate time, but internal control. We recommend there be a grants administrator, and that was done. I was at the Board of Supervisors meeting when that person was appointed. There seemed to be a lot of emphasis on writing grants, and I was hoping that this person would be more into auditing grants than writing them, because this city has a number of grants outstanding that we were concerned about. So just a comment on the discussion at the Board of Supervisors meeting.
I think the actual position was really relegated to do both activities. One, to be monitoring, and that we put the grants position in finance for the reason that you're discussing was to be making sure that, I think if I remember what our audit issues were, just SF-424 reporting problems. And I think, again, they've put in the procedure together to make sure we're not missing them and that the data matches the general ledgers, and then also writing grants. So if I'm not mistaken, we were doing that for both purposes.
Well, I think that's true, but I'm just talking about my impression of the discussion, because when you listen to what's going on in this city, there are tremendous amount of grants out there, and that's fine, except someone does need to spend time making sure that spending is correct.
Nancy Paulson, Carson City CFO. So she has done some grant writing, and she's also redone our grant policy. We've kind of gone back and forth with a few different versions, and she has met with several of the departments. She's keeping track of all, you know, the grants that we have outstanding, and then I believe in the next few months she's going to do some training sessions with the departments to make sure that they're in compliance. So she's doing both.
All right, if there's no more comments or questions on the activity report, I think we'd like to see if there's a motion as far as archiving some of those items that have already been closed or accepted by the Board of Supervisors already.
Okay. I move to move fleet management, fleet utilization, 2014 CAFR, 2015 CAFR to the archive as completed.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, all those in favor, say aye. All those opposed? Okay, motion carries. At this time, is there any comment from the public? Okay, if not, I'd like to now move on to agenda item number 8. And it's going to be a discussion on adopting policies and procedures for the audit findings, which we've already kind of touched on. So, Mark, could you kind of go over that with us in detail?
Sure, I'd be pleased to. So you should have a 2-page handout. It's kind of a memo format. Subject audit findings, administration policy and procedures. So this was requested at the last audit committee meeting to put something together to memorialize a policy and procedures for closing audit findings. So it's kind of short and sweet. So purpose is to give guidance to the audit committee relative to these activities, tracking, reviewing, and closure of audit findings. Talk a little bit about the background of you, sort of your role in doing this and how the audit findings tracker report is developed. And really that's a collaborative effort between the internal auditor sort of dealing with the half of the report that's here's the report, here are the findings, here are the recommendations, and the management providing information relative to their corrective or remediation actions and estimated completion dates and ultimately what action was taken and completion. So the focus is really then in terms of a policy and what you're trying to do is keeping abreast of the bullets towards the bottom of the audit findings, understanding what actions are being taken. So this is sort of the use of the report. It gives you an ability to make sure that the city overall is making progress towards correcting audit findings, obviously indicating which of those have been completed or corrected, determining the audit committee before as far as approving them, that they've been adequately corrected to forward to the Board of Supervisors, and then recommending for adoption by the board. at the bottom of the page, you, of course, can solicit input from internal auditor, from city management, from others, the sources of findings, external auditor, it could be the state, you could have a grand jury, whatever. You might need clarification from those entities to understand the findings and the actions taken. And then on the second page, in terms of the actual sort of steps, so reviewing the audit, the information in the audit findings track and report based on information from management, information from the source of the findings as to the findings and information from management on their corrective action, taking a vote to designate them as corrected and recommending them for the Board of Supervisors adoption, I would say the third bullet should say direct the internal auditor to prepare an audit findings report for the board like we did in the last go around. So we just took out those findings that were being forwarded to the board and provided a report that was specific to those findings. And then upon adoption of them, closing them and the internal auditor really putting them in the archive of the tracking report. Comments, questions?
Comment.
Yes.
On the first page, see if I can get this up here right. Ensure the city is making adequate progress to correct audit findings. In one of my first meetings, we were still working on 2012 items. And my background found that very shocking. And even some of the 2014 stuff that may still be open, hopefully with the new city manager here, we'll begin to ensure that these things are handled promptly. Thank you.
My only comment is on the procedures, probably the second bullet point should indicate that there's going to be a follow-up of the internal auditor, making sure that some of those steps were, or some of those recommendations were implemented satisfactorily, so that the internal auditor can come to this committee and make a recommendation to close it or not. And so I would just add that to the procedures.
Got it. So if I might suggest, I wrote this down when you mentioned it earlier, so a new second bullet could be perhaps receive findings validation from the internal auditor. One point of discussion there would be we do this from some of our other municipal clients. We don't do it for all of them. That could be 100% validation. It could be a sampling. My suggestion would be to have some latitude to do that. So, for example, I'm making this up, but internal controls might be a place where we might lean closer towards 100% sample. It might not be all of them, but those things are more important, perhaps, or essential. I shouldn't say they're more important than maybe, so like on fleet management, where there may be more performance related, we might look at some of the bigger items. Was the new software in place? And then we know that having that will translate to some of the other activities. And I'm only suggesting that from a cost perspective so that we can do that work cost effectively for the city versus checking every finding. In some other cities, we validate every finding, but I know, I'm not sure that that's necessary here, but I just wanted to put that for discussion.
Yeah, I think that's good to comment on. I guess my sense on what we should do on that is, being that you're auditors, that you would use your professional judgment in coming to the conclusions or recommendations you do. So in some cases, like you said, if you need to do more testing to validate it, that would be the case. In other cases, you may not. So, again, when you come make your recommendations, we'll have an opportunity to question you on what you did, what you didn't do. If there's a particular area that I think anybody on this committee had a concern about, we can then at that time ask you more questions.
Or a recommendation might be, Mark, that, for instance, I'm looking like at number 29 on the internal controls that said it was completed by our staff on July 2015. There's a status comment that then you could put whichever method you utilize to validate it. So it could be that you said tested one report, verified software was in place. You could actually tell us in the status comment what validation method was used to recommend its closure. Or if you disagreed with its closure, you could indicate that also. So if we just use the status comment box to be the latest action that we're discussing at any time, I think the report would be complete and would potentially help all of us move these along. And that way we'd also see that, because I think they've done a great job moving, like you said, 17 of these. And are you going to be using that as your basic service? So after an audit, because you've already closed this, so then are you going to bill those hours against basic services because you're just validating a closure?
Probably I was going to suggest, request and suggest that we utilize the contingency line item that was for the performance measures for that activity, since we really haven't budgeted for a validation activity. We might, if we have room within it, which of course we do today at this point, because we haven't used that budget for that line item yet, but I'd request if we could have the latitude to use that line item for those activities, or at least as necessary. But that was also part of the reason I suggested that we're not doing 100% validation so that we can be as cost effective as possible. Thank you for asking, though.
Make sure we're all on the same page and we don't have any surprises later either. So
the only thing on the CAFR findings, we might need to develop a different process. I'm trying to figure out how we could get to the audit committee before it comes to the board, because we usually only get those like 2 weeks before the board meeting. So
I think from past discussions, I believe it was agreed on that we've just accepted that's the case, but I think we still want to take a look at it afterwards. If there is something that really stands out and we need to deal with, we can then bring it to the attention of the board at a later time. But I think trying to take a look at it before the board does is just not practical.
Right, and I don't even think the auditors would disclose the findings before it went to the board. So, yeah. Okay.
So there's no way around that one. We'll just have to go along with that. Okay, were there any other comments on this before I ask for a motion on accepting these policies and procedures with the modifications we recommended? Okay, do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, if you're going to take public comment, if you could take it before.
Okay, thank you. Motion. At this time, is there any public comment on this item? All right, seeing none, the motion?
I make a motion that we approve the procedures outlined by Moss Adams and add the condition that we will have a validation at the discretion of the internal auditor.
I second.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Agenda item number 9. At this time, Mark Strank of Moss Adams is going to update us on the Fraud, Waste, and Abuse Program. And so I guess, Mark, why don't you go ahead and fill us in on what's happening there?
Sure. So I can't remember if it was the last meeting, the prior meeting before that, or in between meetings, we had a suggestion, which I think was a good one, for the audit chair to be kind of a second set of eyes on how we pursue or not pursue reports from the hotline. So just as a reminder, the city contracts with an outside service that receives hotline reports. They get forwarded to the internal auditor. We either take no action because it's irrelevant to the city, forward it based on the procedures to one of several people within the city, or decide that it's something worth looking into further. The suggestion was made is before we quote-unquote close something or decide, okay, this doesn't need any further action, that we would share it with the audit chair to, again, have a second set of eyes. I think it's a great suggestion. Selfishly, it's a great suggestion, but I mean, just in terms of a good practice, it also is. And so we took the liberty of making a few modifications. They're on pages 7 and 8 of this policy and procedure. You'll see the last bullet before tracking and monitoring of complaints on page 7. We've added the wording assigns the chair responsibility for reviewing all recommended actions by the internal auditor regarding how to respond to complaints. And then on page 8 at the top, under complaint triage, it would say, I can barely read it, triage and recommend action by internal auditor, recommendation reviewed by the audit committee chair to determine what action should be taken and action carried out by the internal auditor as follows. So all we've done is inserted the audit chair as part of the process. I will note one other unrelated modification to this document on page 17. Since we were making changes, we thought we would just take advantage of adding in information on the fraud, waste, and abuse training and a link to the YouTube webinar from the training that we did for the city. So that's we've just added that to the policy and procedure. So those changes really on pages 7 or 8 are for your consideration. Just before you sort of start discussing that, so Bill Prose wasn't obviously not able to make this meeting. We had a discussion last Saturday, I think it was. He reviewed this. I just wanted to offer his comments related to it so that you would have the benefit of it. And I can say I did what I promised to do. So he had suggested maybe it's the chair or vice chair to give more flexibility, that perhaps there could or should be training for those individuals with that responsibility, and then had also added the question, did this responsibility add any added liability to the audit committee member of playing that role, which is probably more a question for Adriana, but those were his three points.
Well, being that I'm the chair, I'm going to go for the third point right away. Adriana, is there any comment on, is there any increased liability for the chairman or anybody on this committee to take a look at that fraud, waste, and abuse, or the hotline reports, and make a recommendation whether we pursue them or not?
I think that's within your authority and your jurisdiction to do so.
So, yeah, so basically the answer is there's no additional liability or personal liability for that. Okay. On the other points, and I'd like to hear comments from the others, I as we have it stand right now, just basically, and I've had a chance to look at a couple of hotline reports already and comment on them. I don't think we want to make our rules too complicated or have a lot of people just simply just having another set of eyes to look at it. In this case where I've looked at it and I kind of felt like it wasn't a clear cut and I wanted another person to take a look at it, I just refer it to the appropriate audit committee member and just feel like, hey, I think I'd like this person or that person. They might know more about this particular area to do that. And that's what I did in those cases. So I think those procedures are good. Just leave it to the discretion of the audit chair if he wants to bring somebody else in or not. And just how you guys feel, okay? So, all right. I don't know. Do we need to make a motion for any changes in these policies or procedures, or is that just, that'd be a... Okay, and I guess also, too, I guess part of that motion would be then to accept these, if there's no other comments, you know, before we do that with the changes. Okay. Yeah.
So maybe just in a general comment or to help kind of walk through the process. Or so what if we found an issue that rose to the level of fraud, waste, and abuse? And so what if it's just waste? So fraud, we know what to do with that, and you refer them to the proper authorities. But what if it's waste? Is it then come back through this actual committee, and let's say the chair says, yeah, we thought that was kind of wasteful. Would it then rise to being reported, and we would track a correction for it? So where would this committee come into play on a waste?
Yeah, it's a really good question. This is in every city that I work with, it's really delicate, right? Because the design of the process is to maintain confidentiality. And so the way we've handled it to date in our first example was not a good one because it didn't go according to how we would want the process to go. It all worked out fine. The way we've been handling it, and so, for example, even today, so whether it's fraud, yeah, we'll take the fraud part off. Whether it's waste or abuse, we would pursue it. We would report back to the audit committee generally. Here's what we were working on. I mean, we can be more or less specific about the actual activity or what it is, but what we're going to try to do is not say, so if it was, you know, the district attorney's office and Adriana had, you know, done something untoward to one of her coworkers, you know, we wouldn't come back and, I know, she's about to go on vacation, so she'll forget all about me saying this. You know, we might say there was an issue, that's not a good example because that would be more human resources, but for example, we would say there was an issue that we dealt with that was within one of the departments. It's been handled by the following way. We wouldn't necessarily say the department, although we probably have, you know, latitude there. We, of course, wouldn't talk about any of the participants, you know, in the process. So we would try to walk a balance of giving you enough information to give you a sense, not giving you too much information that we're making it obvious in some way who it might have been involved. Now, sometimes dots get connected in a way that's how the first situation happened. And so that's, you got to be careful there. So as you can tell, this isn't a black and white thing. And so, for example, the two small works projects, I mean, I could talk about those in more detail. It's not certain individuals, and so that would kind of be easier. But just sharing with you that, there were some concerns about public works, some process changes have come out of it. That's a good thing. There wasn't anything that rose to a fraud, waste, or abuse. That's kind of what I would hope, kind of enough that you need to know. But I sort of think we have to take it on a case-by-case basis, and we're kind of on the hook to navigate the waters to not say too much and not say too little. I'm not sure anything better to say than that.
What I'm after there is I just want to make sure we have value for having the program. And so Sometimes if everything is quiet, it's not necessarily true. And so I don't know if there's just a general type of report that you can give that even would say, for instance, 4 complaints received, 2 dismissed, 2 had action, and the corrective action was procedure changes. So that, again, we want to tell the public that we appreciate their input and that they know we're actually taking it seriously and a report's actually happening. Because how else, let's say someone did an anonymous discussion, how are they going to know that what they reported on was actually taken seriously and reviewed if we have no methodology? So I agree, but if there was just a generalized report even that could just indicate it was reviewed and what action took place. Maybe that's all I'm looking for. It's just an action report.
Yeah, we can absolutely do that. So let me offer two options. Would you like that to be something that's just incorporated into the status report, or just make that something separate? Either one is fine.
Well, right now, I mean, when we earlier in the meeting, you did give us
a
status report.
I did it verbally.
Report.
I did it verbally.
So you want to see it in writing?
And I concur with that.
Then maybe we should go ahead, and that would be good just to have it written down so that maybe there'd just be a line item on that that basically say, hey, there were so many calls that came in. And that'd help us see, like, in writing and for the public as well, what, you know, that there is something happening and it's being addressed, even though we don't have the details.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
On page 2, I was reading this rather thoroughly, and on page 2, under fraud, a whole bunch of that. I was also interested in how many calls had been received, but I looked at this and said, this is internal audit. Most of this stuff people aren't going to see or find. For example, falsifying financial records to cover up theft. Internal audit's going to find that. I don't see where a city employee is going to find that at all. But I looked through that and said, okay, a lot of it is money, and a lot of it's internal audit action. Waste definition, the thing that hit me very quickly was P-cards. One of my favorites. Boy, I'll tell you what, the city is wide open on that one, I think. A lot of P-cards out there, and I know I've been told that they're looked at and everything's audited, but that's a great opportunity for someone to say, boy, am I going to have fun, because I had experience with employees with credit cards that I hated, and it was amazing what they found to spend money on. Thank you.
Okay, are there any more comments on these policies and procedures before we take a motion on them? At this time, is there any comments from the public on the policies and procedures? Okay, hearing none. I guess, is there a motion to accept these with the adjustments that we recommended here?
I make a motion to approve the updated policies on fraud, waste, and abuse, and include an actual written report on the performance of the fraud, waste, and abuse account.
I second.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries.
And I just wanted to clarify, as far as the reporting, so is it okay to add that information on the fraud, waste, and abuse hotline to the status report?
Yeah, I think that's what we were. Yeah, I think that's
okay.
What we agreed
on. Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
So we'll see. I guess we'll probably have it's almost like a standing item, hotline report. You know, you've got that little Excel grid, maybe another little grid, hotline reports, calls taken, what's being resolved, what's still in process, something like that. So we can see, like, new calls, old calls. And
absolutely.
Okay. All right, agenda item number 10. Let's see. Okay, this is we're going to be just, I guess this is where Mark is going to be discussing policies and procedures update on the policy inventory and recommendations that you have for us on the work you've done there. So why don't you go ahead and go over that with us as far as what those recommendations are.
Okay. So this is a, I don't know how many pages this is, because it's mostly a table. It's about a six-page document, again, in memo format, subject, policy, inventory, and recommendations. Got that? Okay. So this was one of the projects as part of our fiscal year audit program. The intent of this project was to help the city, give the city guidance and input on how to move sort of efficiently and effectively forward on doing some additional, doing some work on their policies and procedures. Part of this came as a result of the internal controls review, because there's typically always findings related to policies that don't exist to date. That's not a shame on you thing. It's just we don't always have everything, or policies that are outdated, or maybe don't have sufficient detail, or whatever. Part of this is just from our other work across the city as we touch other areas like fleet, like community facilities, like the employee efficiency studies, or inputs from various sources to why we suggested doing this project. And again, the intent here was more about sort of assisting the city moving forward in terms of, although we have recommendations, you'll see that we don't have findings. So it was a little bit different approach to the work. So the things that I would want you to take away from this work, so very collaborative with the city, as most of our work is. This is citywide policies. So just to sort of give you some context, cities have multiple layers of policies. It varies by city how it's structured. Certainly here at I don't know if all of these apply. Obviously the first one does. You have municipal code. So those are things that are difficult to change, or there's more work to make a change into a policy that's in municipal code. You may have board of supervisor policies. Councils often have policies, and they have things that are specific to the council or board of supervisors. Then you have citywide policies. So, for example, human resources will have citywide policies on expense reimbursement, travel expenditures, but human resources will also have departmental policies that are things that are specific to how they process benefits or benefits administration or payroll. Those aren't citywide, they're departmental. Finance obviously will have citywide policies and departmental policies. And so the last layer is departmental policies. So these are looking at citywide policies, so things that cut across the city and have application to multiple or all departments. So our recommendations or takeaways from this work are, one, and this is really high accolades for the city. So the city has a application called Policy Tech that's used to basically administer the policies within the city. It's a tool to have a repository for the policies. It's a database in terms of, it has a tickler for reviewing policies, make sure they're kept up to date, who's responsible for them, et cetera. I'll tell you, none of our other cities that we work with have this. And so this, as we develop best practices working with cities, what one city does becomes a best practice for others. Well, we've already started, suggesting this to other cities. So that's awesome. It's something.
Yay, we're a best practice.
Yeah, there you go. But there is some opportunity to use it even more to make sure all of the policies in there. But it's great that you have this. So it's leverage it to its fullest potential is basically the recommendation. So that's great. So there is some work for the city to do. All cities, we could say this for every city we work with, in terms of prioritizing work on policies and procedures. I'm going to come back to that when we go through the latter three or four pages. On the second page, guidance on key functions associated with state law. So, here's just this isn't at all a criticism, and it's not even necessarily something that's the situation here, but often when you have policies related to state or federal rules and regulations, that language is taken into there. Now, that's important, but also it's, okay, but what does it really mean? And so this is just talking about where you have some of that relative to your clerk or treasurer, sheriff, assessor, being able to boil that down into terms more than one employee can understand. Often you have, for example, a clerk, which was certainly the case here, someone who's in place for a long time, or assessor, and they know it. And then suddenly you have someone new, especially in elected positions. How do they really make sense of what the requirements are? So that's kind of just the assessor for dummies, in a particular case. Training on policies and procedures. So this was certainly part of what was in some of our internal controls recommendations. And so, one is getting sort of the infrastructure in place in terms of all the policies and procedures you want, and then it's giving refreshers, and this is typically, again, from sort of the central services like HR, like finance out, where you're dealing with procurement or AR or whatever, making sure that we're keeping folks fresh on things that have changed, just reminders, periodically, annually, every couple of years, whatever, to keep people up to speed and thinking about these things so that's fresh. And then just a comment about the municipal code. Every city that we work with has this challenge to some extent. They have departmental, in some cases, policies and procedures in code. And you're in their charter. What are you thinking? It makes life so difficult for the city to make a change because, especially if it's in your charter, you got to go back to the public. And so one example here is, and this is a very relevant example, is having a fee structure in your municipal code. So that's fairly unwieldy for the city in terms of how you administer that and update them and keep them current. And you may or may not, as a city, make a change in this, but it's just something to think about. Is that something that the future that might be able to be moved down to a policy level versus something that's in municipal code? Then the last 1, 2, 3, 4 pages is really we refer to as a table of contents. And so here's what we looked at for citywide policies. We do this type of work for multiple cities, so the list is kind of standard in terms of what you're looking for. There's some differences here because you're an integrated city-county, so you have some things that a city wouldn't have. So what you see is going from left to right across the policy, whether it exists or not, yes or no, where it's located, so you can see references to policy tech or code, for example. Notes are primarily either a status, you can see like project in progress, or a reference to one of the audit findings to give it relevance for, or sort of context for why we think it makes sense to either develop or update. And then, so that's the notes column, and then the last column, priority, being those with a one or a two being priority things to work on. And so those were our suggestions or recommendations back to the city in terms of how to approach these. And for example, Laura, you brought this up earlier, but for example, in the cash handling, we'll be providing to the city some sample policies and procedures, some that the city can probably pretty close to put in use. We can't be the Moss Adams developed it because we can't audit our own work, but we can bring examples to the table that to help make it easier for the city to put something in place or less work. So I thought, the point of this was to help the city develop a game plan for addressing some of their policies and procedures. I would want one of your, takeaways to be knowledge of the use of policy tech and how fairly unique that is in the municipal environment. Policy tech should be leveraging Carson City as a reference for a lot of other places if I were them. Anyway, any questions, comments?
So in policy tech, because I'm not very familiar with that, but does it indicate on there the last time that that policy was looked at, reviewed, or updated? So if I'm on the front and I'm picking use of volunteers to review that, does it tell me the date that that policy was reviewed?
I believe it does. Can you confirm?
Melanie Bruchetta, Carson City Human Resources Director. Yes, it does. And it also, as the document owner, will remind you once a year, or depending on how you set it, that that policy needs to be reviewed. You also have a way to set a policy if you want it reviewed by employees at certain intervals to schedule that as well.
And so, for example, with other cities, when we do this type of work, a significant part of the effort is figuring out when's the last time these things were touched. That did just remind me one other thing that I wanted to mention, and it's relevant to the comment about the municipal code and your fees and charges. One of the things that we mentioned, it's in the second page of the table of contents under revenue sources. We say recommend developing a revenue manual. Some cities have revenue manuals in place. It's, I'd say, kind of more the exception to than the norm. But the reason that we mention this is a couple relevant comments. So I know when we did the community facilities study, we had a number of suggestions as far as and as well as golf, where the city we thought should consider relooking at fees and charges, and maybe they're lower than they could be. And then that gets into a whole political discussion, right? So, you know, it's easy to say, maybe tougher to do. But having a revenue manual does two things for you, and we would kind of consider it a best practice, is that it gives you a source of all your fees and charges, when they were last revised, what's the authorizing document for it, is it code, etc., and then so that's kind of the inventory, and then the revenue manual part of it is being able to have a historical and a forecast of what revenue that'll generate, and having that separate from a municipal code, so that's really truly a working document, then that's just a really valuable tool for a government to have, to be able to know where we've been financially relative to each. Are we way out of date? So lots of cities, last time we looked at our fees and charges, not everyone, but you know, 7-8 years ago, time has gone by. Are we having the cost recovery that we want to, et cetera? So not to pick on that, but it's a good opportunity or something to think about.
So, sorry, Melanie, I wasn't quite done with you. Just one other little piece then in that policy tech, so it would alert, for instance, if you had one, it would say, hey, Melanie, take a look at procedure X because it's been a year. Is there also a component in there that produces a report so the city manager can track that all of his department heads are updating the policies and looking at them? Is there a tool for the city manager to utilize?
There are a lot of reporting features that Policy Tech has, and as a matter of fact, a lot of the departments, the Sheriff's Department is the largest utilizer of this tracking tool, as well as Public Works. They'll go in before they conduct an employee performance evaluation to make sure that employees are reading their policies and signing off on them. So yes, the city manager would have the ability to track his department directors to make sure that they were using the program.
Nice job.
We also use it. It's really an important tool. We use it a lot for employee discipline, because the program actually tracks every time an employee opens a document and reads it. We can tell you the date and the time and how often they did that.
Sounds like sounds like we do have a best policy and a best practice to brag on. Thank you, Melanie.
In fact, I remember when we had our first discussion on it and Melanie was telling us, but we're like, you have what? We were surprised.
Just looking at this, in the information technology section, it says existing, I guess, policy. There's none for several of the information technology management, security, and acceptable use of technology resources. I'm kind of concerned. What's the seriousness of that? I mean, does that kind of open us up to hacking at all, or without having policies in that particular area? And yeah, I'm just kind of like looking at this. You see, we see you have priority 1, 2, but I mean, some things would probably have. There's more of an urgency that they be addressed than other items, and I was wondering if there's a way that could be identified.
Well, there's a couple of components when you think about security. So one is doing, and I do not know the answer to this, if the city is doing called PCI or penetration testing in terms of looking at the ability for hacking. Most organizations do it, not all do. That's a lot of municipalities are still playing catch up in that regard. I would say that doing that in a way is more important than the policy. Not that you shouldn't have a policy, but the fact you know what's on you have on your hands is more important. But the policy obviously is important. I mean, we get it as a firm. We get a required refresher every year from our risk management and legal department on even down to what we can and can't do with our laptop, where we can leave it and not leave it, if you know, and of course we follow it diligently. But if something happens, they're not going to be too happy with us. So yes, a policy is important.
And I know that they're currently working on all of their policies. They just weren't able to complete them before this meeting. But they're in the process.
I don't even know how to turn this on. I guess it's on. Mr. Chair, Nick Marano, City Manager. I'd be happy to sit down with you and the entire committee, if you'd like, with our Chief Information Officer. We're doing quite a lot in terms of information security. I don't think it's appropriate to discuss in an open meeting, and I'd be happy. I understand your interest in it, Mr. Chair, and I'd be happy to sit down and we can go over what we're doing to ensure information assurance.
Thank you. I was just in looking at the reports, I'm just trying to also understand. I'm wondering if there was a gap there or not, and what you're saying is basically that's being addressed, and that kind of answers my question.
Okay. Thank you.
Does anybody else have any other questions on these policies?
Can I just ask then, and maybe Nick could have stood, because really number 5 on the consideration of revising the municipal code, that's really more of a policy discussion that potentially has to happen at the board level. So are we having, do you see that coming soon as a discussion item? Because that's a much broader recommendation, not something that you put on a little chart, like you said, and just go yes or no.
Right. And again, Nick Marano, City Manager, for the record. I think that's a great idea. This has come up in one or two board meetings where we have had, you know, like the fee schedule that was written into the code. So if we're going to change, you know, we're going to stand up our basic life support ambulance capability, we now have to change the ordinance. So we have to do a first and second reading. So I think that's a great point, and we are moving to get all those type of items that are currently in different elements of the municipal code out of it, so we're able to modify the fee schedule or
so just as a general comment, and I'm only, again, speaking for myself, I like the idea of it being as a fee schedule, that here is the city's fee schedule and it lists everything that we do fees for. And then prior to the implementation of your budget, so again, that becomes an annual review of the fees. Is the fee still appropriate? Should we eliminate the fee, increase the fee, decrease the fee? I know no one ever believes something gets decreased, but sometimes you can because
no,
we
do.
Automate
they
something.
Do.
That's
they
right, because we automate it and it becomes less expensive. So just as a thought or a comment, I think that it is appropriate to bring it as a single schedule of all our fees, and then, like you said, just annually the board could address it. So like you said, we don't go through first reading, second reading, but yet we still allow a public comment that there is on the fee. So it's not the city setting the fee itself, that it still becomes an annual schedule in which the public could comment, but maybe not first reading, second reading, ordinance change, codification. So, thank you.
Great point. Thank you.
Just a quick comment on number three, making sure your policy is easily understood by the people who are reading it. I just heard a comment the other day that policies and procedures should be written at the 12th grade level of understanding, because if a PhD or an MBA writes it, some of us won't understand, can I say hell? What the hell they're saying. So that I think that one's very, very important, so that your employees who are abiding by these rules understand what the heck you're saying.
Okay, any other comments before we move on? Okay, at this time, is there any comments from the public? Looks like there isn't. So at this point, I'd like to entertain a motion to accept these policies. And I don't think there's any changes or any amendments to it, just as presented by Moss Adams.
If I could, Mr. Chair, if part of the just... if part of the ethics, number six, is going to be adopted, I just wanted to make sure that I put on the record. I believe that code 3.24, I think it is, no, 2.34, was removed from the code because the state ethics law applies to local governments and public officials. So I don't know if... I know there's a record of it. We were trying to research it while you guys were talking, but I know for sure that there was a committee to look at the local code, but I believe that it was removed just because there's no need for it because the state law applies. So it would simply just, the state law would take the place of code 2.34 that is cited in the report.
Where is that? I don't see that.
This is page 6, the top of page 6, and it's Roman numeral number 4.
So it's the last page? No. Page 6.
Oh, it's page 6 of the... It's the fraud, waste, and abuse report.
Oh, under ethics. Okay. We're looking at the wrong.
So can you say it again? I'm sorry.
Yeah, could you? So really, it's the first
pair. State policy. We took it out of our policy and said we would abide by the state rules.
Exactly. So we repealed that section of the code, the 2.34.
Okay.
And NRS 281A, it's chapter 281A, took the place of code 2.34, basically.
Okay. So the city is adopting the state's ethics code?
Correct.
Yeah. Donald, did you see how I reduced that to 12th grade so I could understand it?
He's being generous because I thought it was 6th grade.
I only went to the 5th grade, and I'm... City manager will probably remember that I am British.
Okay, so at this time, I guess I'd entertain a motion to. I think we do need a motion, don't we, to accept these? Because these are your recommendations, this policy, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. To accept the report.
Yeah.
I make a motion to accept the policy inventory report from Moss Adams.
I second.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion carries. The report is accepted. Now on to the last item on the agenda, schedule our next meeting for the Carson City Audit Committee. And I guess my question is to Mark, when will you be at a point where you'll be able to present to us some significant findings so that it makes it worthwhile for us to get together again? And I'm kind of thinking, it seems like every 3 months maximum, every 2 months. I know we're coming up at the end of the year. So I'm kind of thinking probably the end of May or early June.
Yeah, so what I'm thinking is that I think it would be beneficial for the committee if we had a May meeting and a June meeting. A May meeting so that we can bring as much of the completed work back to you as possible, plus some thoughts about the next fiscal year's program. So then you can have between the May meeting and the June meeting to be thinking about that, and perhaps in the June meeting you can make decisions about what the composition of the next program would be. But I feel like we'd be trying to put too much in one meeting or not giving you enough time to think about it. So maybe a May and a June.
Okay. So if being that's the case, and probably have something like early May, or like I'm looking at maybe May the 17th, the 10th, the 17th.
The 17th would be good.
And by that time, I guess you're going to be starting, my understanding is you're going to be starting some of the internal control testing. So by the 17th, does it seem reasonable to you that we're going to have some results on that?
We'll have some. I honestly don't know if we'll be finished, but if we're not finished, we can bring the balance of that to you in June. But what I'd want to do in May is also bring some ideas about the next fiscal year, drawing from back to our original risk assessment through to our work to date. And then for you all to have between the May meeting and the June meeting also to be thinking about that. So the 17th would be good. And Mr. Chair, weren't you're going to be?
I'm going to be out of town the last couple of weeks in June. So if we were to do something in June and I was to be a part of that, really, as far as a Tuesday, there's just one Tuesday I could make it. It would be the 7th.
That's a good day for me. What is that?
We have our park meeting at 5:30, so long as we were done before the 5:30. I know we're here. I'm here at 5:30, so that's a good. I can just stay in the chair.
We'll be finished by 5:30.
I can just stay in the chair. Okay.
Yeah, that second meeting will be more audit planning for next year, and bringing a proposal to the board.
Yeah.
You know, and recommendations. So there'll be a little less. There'll be less technical work that like we're doing in these meetings here. Really, the next one will be discussing the results, I think, of the testing you've done will be the big thing.
So May 17th and June 7th?
Yeah, is that fine with everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we'll put that down. So we'll make the next two meetings, the 17th and the 7th, at 3 o'clock. And with that, is there any comment from the public? Okay. With that, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn?
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. All those opposed? Meeting adjourned.